Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, chapter 4. It talks about the God who sees beauty in weakness, in weaknesses. And I'm going to read from the version of Good News Bible. How beautiful you are, my love. How your eyes shine with love behind your veil. Your hair dances like a flock of goats, bounding down the hills of Gilead. Your teeth are as white as sheep that have just been shorn and washed. Not one of them is missing. They are all perfectly matched. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. How lovely they are when you speak. Your cheeks glow behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, round and smooth, with a necklace like a southern shield hung around it. Your breasts are like gazelles, twin deer feeding among lilies. I will stay on the hill of myrrh, the hill of incense, until the morning breezes blow and the darkness disappears. How beautiful you are, my love. How perfect you are. Come with me from the Lebanon mountains. My bride, come with me from Lebanon. Come down from the top of Mount Amana, from Mount Senir and Mount Hermon, where the lions and leopards live. The look in your eyes, my sweetheart and bride, the necklace you are wearing have stolen my heart. Your love delights me, my sweetheart and bride. Your love is better than wine, your perfume more fragrant than any spice. The taste of honey is on your lips, my darling. Your tongue is milk and honey for me. Your clothing that has all the fragrance of Lebanon. My sweetheart, my bride, is a secret garden, walled garden, private spring. Their plants flourish. They grow like an orchard of pomegranate trees and bear the finest fruits. There is no lack of henna and nard, of saffron, calamus, and cinnamon, or incense of every kind. Myrrh and aloes grows there with all the most fragrant perfumes. Fountains water the garden, streams of flowing water, brooks gushing down the Lebanon mountains. And the woman says, wake up, north wind, south wind, blow on my garden, fill the air with fragrance. Let my lover come to his garden and eat the best of its fruits. So this is one of the most romantic books. We were talking about French this morning, Vish and Minette. And one of the things, French is one of the most romantic languages. So one thing is for sure. On this chapter, the groom is using all the good languages he knows to express his feelings for his bride, for his woman. So let's go dig deep into it. Let's pray. Lord, you are our God. Lord, all scripture is inspired by you, and this one is also inspired by you. And Lord, give us ears to hear, and give me the wisdom to deliver the word that you want your people to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in a natural meaning, you will see that people will take it as a rom-com, how the world would describe love relationship between a man and a woman who intimately love each other. The groom praises his bride and expresses his delight in her, seeing her with love, affection, and admiration, sees her as precious and complete in his eyes. So you can see that all the languages that he's using, the words he's playing, your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. How lovely they are when you speak. Although some of the languages that are used here You cannot use them in our modern world. Like someone is saying, where he says, your neck is like a Tower of David. So if you try maybe to woo a woman and you are using that language today, she will probably do a run. Unless she's from your rib, she will come back later. But we'll go back to that Tower of Neck. It doesn't mean what it in the natural world it shows. Like here it says, he sees her as precious and complete in his eyes. And it talks about intimacy with our God. So what he's trying to say here, the two people, the groom and the bride, having a conversation and beginning to talk to her and shower praises into her. Because here, there are like three characters. The first one is like Solomon and his Shulamite woman. So, as he spoke, it's obvious. It's evident that the groom is skilled at showering love to his maiden. So, how does love grow? Love grows by spending time. Two people who are in love, they spend time together. The groom would shower the praises to his missus, his woman, and his woman would also listen to him. So, like they say, how do you convince someone to love you? First time you approach them, you have to be in the right mind, right spirit. You may start on a wrong foot, but eventually you will end up together. So, based on this, let's see the spiritual meaning of this book. Here, God is trying to tell us to spend time with him. Yeah? Like the bride, like Solomon and the Shulamite woman, the way they were spending time talking to each other. Yeah? The bride. And what is it about spending time looking at his love for us? Because like he said there, you're altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no flaw in you. That is verse 7. Many Christians spend more time looking at their failures than looking at Christ's love. And the intimacy grows when we meditate on God's forgiveness. Imagine at the cross, Jesus was there, hanging there, and people who were, what were they saying? Crucify him! Crucify him! What did he do? Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. That's forgiveness. So, He sees them as his people, but they are lost. And he has mercy on them. His grace in our lives, he will go to any length. And Lord delights in us, just like the man was delighted in his bride. The question that we need to ask ourselves daily, how does Jesus see me today? He sees us with love, not through the lens of condemnation, but through the lens of redemption. You come as you are to him. It doesn't matter. He will perfect you. He doesn't see us as perfect. He knows we are not perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. It's only yesterday there was a discussion on our WhatsApp group. How could Jesus go through so much and still never faltered, stood strong, most of us would crumble. And so there is no limit to what he can go for us. Another thing that we need to learn from here is to develop a consistent prayer life, because intimacy cannot grow without communication. How they were communicating, the man and the woman in that garden, it shows love. And love to strive, there have to be good communication. So the groom is showering praises to his woman, and eventually she's responding. Prayer is more than presenting a shopping list of requests. It is a fellowship with God. Try talking to God throughout the day, thinking of him for specific blessing, listening quietly after the prayer. We can see that in all this of chapter 4, the groom was talking to his bride, and she spoke once, agreed to come to be with him. So, listening quietly after the prayer and being honest about your struggles. The strongest relationships are built through regular conversation. We have to converse to our God, talk to him, hear, and also be open to hear from him. So before we continue, let's listen to this song, Nathan. It's a world song. It's Don Williams who sang it, and relevant to this topic. Duplicate. So I don't know what inspired him to write this song, but what is happening there is the opposite of what was happening in that garden between the Shulamite woman and King Solomon. So we see that in gardens of stone, flowers will not grow. The seeds that you scatter, you try to plant, they will be scattered and blown. And what it is here, living for God is a daily thing. The ground must be tended. You have to work on it. You have to read on the word, have a relationship with him. There is no time to rest. There is no giving up. What should you do? Feed on the word of God. The Bible is God's primary way of revealing his heart, his true feelings for us, his ways, or what he wants from us. Don't merely read to gain knowledge. Read to encounter Christ. Before reading, pray. Like they say, before reading, just pray, a short prayer. Holy Spirit, show me Jesus and help me to know you more. A simple prayer like that, and read the word of God, and God will show you, will reveal himself to you. Like when you are reading, ask yourself, what does this passage teach me about God or Jesus? What does it reveal about his character? And how should I respond? One of the most shocking thing I ever encountered, anyway, when I had just come to UK, and until today, it still baffles me. Like, I would call, let's say I'm calling my wife, Lucy. She say, "What? Isn't there a better way of responding than what? Nikki, what?" It's like, I'm not interested. It's like someone is telling you, I'm not interested in what you want to tell me. I don't know. And so I'm still trying to find it. Isn't there a better way of how someone can respond? I think there should be a better way, especially for us Christians. uh, And also, we should also say yes to obedience. Because we all know, we have seen how the groom was showering his praises to his bride, telling her, "You are beautiful. You are beautiful, my love. The taste of honey is on your lips." He can even pour his praises on her cheeks, although they are covered by a veil. So that's someone who loves us. And God, that's how he sees us. He sees us as beautiful, complete, and his people. Eventually, what happened? Because before she was looking down on herself, that she was feeling like she was unworthy to be with him because of her color. I'm a person of dark color, this one and that one. But eventually, she chooses to be with him. She chose to go with him. Because in the beginning, if you go to chapter 2, verse 17, she had said, "I will not come with you." But in the end, she agreed to go with him. And that's what God is looking at us. He's looking for obedience. Obedience, because he wants us to take us deeper. Deeper in love with him. While resisting simple obedience. Like I can say, "Rob, I need a hand tomorrow. Would you come?" Okay, I will come. Half obedience is not obedience. But if he says, "Yeah, anytime, what time is it? Maybe I cannot do this one. But 6 p.m., I can do it." That's what God is looking from us. So one of the things, God gives us command. Femi was telling us last week that if God says something, it's a marching order. Those who have been in the army or national service would know. It's a command, and you don't go against a command of your superior. Would they say, let's say he's asking you, "Gav, can you go and make tea?" You say, "No, sorry. Rob has already asked me to go and maybe teach Sunday school." So I'm the one who is giving you a command. I insist. But as long as you have informed me, you are covered. So even if he comes, you will say, "I told him," so he will come to me. When God asks us to do something, it's a command. Or as Femi put it, marching order. So one thing is, God has asked us to forgive one another. So ask yourself, is there someone I need to forgive? Is there a sin I need to abandon? Pastor Ella always talks about little foxes that spoils the vines. Little habits that we see them as harmless, but they are coming in a way of our relationship with God. Is there something God is asking me to do? We have to hear, God, what is God asking you to do? Every act of obedience draws us close to him. Amen. Another thing that we can learn from this one is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our character. They talk about the fragrance. We all know how these air fresheners can change the atmosphere. You enter a room, maybe there is a smell, which is temporary, because if it's permanent, you can only mask it for a few minutes. After a while, it will go. But if it's a temporary odor, air freshener will nullify it, and the room start to smell fragrantly nice. So the fragrance of Christ comes through the fruit of the Spirit. Like in Galatians, it teaches us that the Holy Spirit, what the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All this is what God wants us to be transformed. Imagine the first time you met your spouse. I'm sure there are things you liked about them, and there are things you didn't like about them. But as you live together, slowly, slowly, you are shaping one another. Eventually, you come to an agreement. She knows, this one I have to shake it off. He doesn't like it. And you know, my missus doesn't like maybe this one. No, I have to stop this. So slowly, slowly, you are coming into terms to an agreement. So allow the Holy Spirit to transform your character. Yourself, you cannot. Like here, the Shulamite woman was looking down on herself. So what did the groom do? Shower praises into her that you are beautiful, you are all, everything. I see you as a completed person, not where you are. And eventually you get love, you get joy, you get peace. And of course, patience is key for one of us. Without patience, there is love will not all this is what we need, the tendering the ground, tending the ground so that you don't plant your love on garden of stones. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these God wants from us. How will they come? It's by spending time with him, learning on how to go. The goal is not merely spiritual activity, but spiritual transformation. That's what God is looking from us. And also God wants us to worship him for who he is. Worship shifts our focus from ourselves to God. Spending time with him, singing worship songs, thanking him, praising his attitudes, meditating on his greatness, we can see how those lovers were spending time with each other. That's how we should be spending time with God. And that's what is expected. And this is what this chapter is trying to tell us. Yeah, not just like how it is with the rom-com. No. And I did tell you, we'll go back to the tower neck. Your neck is like a tower of David. This signifies strong character. You know, your neck is your neck guides your head. The king comes, you bow your head. So your neck is the one which is directing your head to bow. She was a woman of strong character. And that's what God is expecting us to have, a strong character of standing up for him. If you harden your neck, what do they call you? A stiff-necked fool. Like if someone who says there is no God, what do they call you? He's a stiff-necked fool because he's hardening his neck. So spiritually, that's what it is. The nail. That's where he says your neck is like a strong character. She can go any length. She can bow. She can do anything for God. And that's what God is expecting us to be. And lastly, God is telling us to make intimacy your goal. Holy Spirit is calling us to make intimacy with God the goal of our lives. Many people in this world, they pursue success. in world standards. They pursue ministry, mega church, mega churches. You find someone is have a mega church, but if you go in there and start to count who are people, how many people are actually living for God, you may find maybe two or three, but most of them, maybe they are there for prosperity gospel, just to do whatever. And also knowledge. People think maybe the more PhD I have, the more knowledge, the more maybe knowledgeable I am. Maybe I am a rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. Those are worldly success. Maybe I'm an astronomy. Or I'm famous. I'm rich. All those people look at them, but the goal, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, making intimacy with God the goal of our lives. Because having a relationship, a good relationship with our Father, is the most important thing. There is nothing, absolute nothing in this world that can fulfill. Also, people are looking for recognition. I've already mentioned those two, fame and fortune. But Jesus is seeking a relationship with us. I remember there was another song. There was a guy from Kenya. He was living in London. He was a preacher. And he was, of course, he was singing about that book in the Revelation. He stands at the door and he's knocking. Oh, sinners, he wants you to open. Jesus is knocking at the door. So, will you open the door? We have to. A mature believer is not simply someone who knows scripture or serves faithfully. A mature believer is someone who knows the heart of the Lord, the heart of Jesus. So, one of the things that we need to transform ourselves, like how we see ourselves. Instead of seeing us through our failures, let's see ourselves through Christ's love and grace. Because the Lord Jesus sees us with love and affection. Do I believe that Christ delights in his people? Yes, I do. He does. He believes, and he wants us to transform his church. And what areas of my life need the Holy Spirit transforming work? He desires a relationship marked by devotion and intimacy. Not taking people, taking God for granted. So, is my life producing a fragrance for Christ? The Holy Spirit should produce a character in us. So, one of the people that we're talking about is Solomon, who is the groom, which is a picture representation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the triumphant and resurrected King. And who is the Shulamite maiden? That's a representation of Bride of Christ. This represents us, the church, who have received Christ and are his disciples. And also, there are those who are following the Shulamite maiden. They are non-Christians or young Christians who are trying to be like us, to follow the example of the Shulamite woman who says, I will go where you will go. Will come with you, Lord, my Lord, who is the bride, the groom. Yeah. So if you go to Corinthians, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, I will read. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The significance of that relationship is that the Shulamite woman eventually agreed to follow the groom. And those who are following the Shulamite woman, non-Christians and and the young Christians, they will know that she has made the right decision. She has been obedient. She has decided to follow Christ. And in the end, God's work is done in this world. Hallelujah. So this book teaches how the joy of life can be attained without regard to how our circumstances are going. The Holy Spirit is calling us to make intimacy with God the goal of our life. Our life is fulfilled when we know and have the relationship with our Lord and Savior. Amen? Lord Jesus, thank you for your loving me. Help me to see myself. You can say this as a simple prayer every day. Lord Jesus, repeat after me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Help me to see myself as you see me. Draw me close to you each day. Give me a willing heart to obey. To obey you and fill me with your spirit. Let my life produce the fragrance of Christ and teach me to love you above all else. Amen. Hallelujah. There is one last song and we are done. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for reminding us what your word, and thank you for reminding us the importance of a relationship with you. And Lord, we are blessing you because, Lord, you have said in your word, better is one day in your house. And Lord, that's where we want to be, because it's better to be a doorkeeper in your house than and being famous and rich or anything else. Only to be your doorkeeper in your house, Lord, is better than everything else, because at the end of the day, Lord, we will triumph with you. In Jesus' name, amen.